If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Grace, mercy, peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This coming Saturday, October 31st, was traditionally known in the church as Hallows Eve, the day before the Hallowed Ones, also known as All Saints' Day. But since that fateful Hallows Eve in 1517, when a young theologian nailed 95 theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg, this day is now celebrated in the Lutheran Church as the Festival of the Reformation. It celebrates the Reformation of the Church, in which Almighty God used a young theologian, Dr. Martin Luther, to rediscover the pure gospel message of Jesus Christ that had been lost through neglect and, yes, even outright false teaching. Luther uncovered the blessed truth that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Luther realized that even though man is by nature sinful and unclean, in God's sight, yet Jesus the Christ has come so that man can stand before God in faith and in hope and in forgiveness, and therefore be comforted by the forgiveness of all their sins. How appropriate it is, and indeed even inspiring, dear one, that St. John, the Gospel of St. John, focuses on our Lord's divinity and his purpose in coming down out of heaven to save you and me from our sin. He tells us very clearly why he wrote this gospel. John writes, so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing, you might have life in him. This morning, we hear Jesus talking to some Jews who believed his words, but not all of them. They believed what he was speaking, what he was announcing to them, but not all of them. He had been telling them that he is the light of the world, and that anyone who believes in him will never ever walk in darkness, but would have the light of life. Jesus is bearing witness to himself. Yet the Pharisees, the highly revered teachers of the law, they were shocked at Jesus' claim. They accused him of blasphemy. Why he had the nerve to proclaim that he and the Father are one? That he, this carpenter from lowly Nazareth, is God? That he is the Almighty and Eternal Yahweh? One of the most beloved characteristics of John's gospel is that it contains Jesus' great I am sayings. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And the most telling of all, before Abraham was, I am. In no uncertain terms, Jesus was proclaiming that he is the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, who has led them out of Egypt and has now come into the flesh to redeem sinful man, to redeem them, to save them from their great enemy, sin, death, and the power of the devil. By identifying himself as the God of Israel to the Jews, this was the same as defiling the Holy of Holies. It filled the priest and the Pharisees and the elders of the law with such rage that they would stop at nothing in having this Nazarene put to death. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Today, many hear these words, setting one free, and they think the very same way as the Jewish leaders way back then. Setting me free from what? America is a free country. We exercise our freedoms. We have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to assemble, the freedom to bear arms. We even have the freedom to elect our own leaders. Being set free, however, doesn't get one's attention in this world, does it? In fact, since we supposedly live in a modern, enlightened society, and we do not find ourselves in bondage to anyone or enslaved to anything, freedom is a given. It's a non-issue that's actually taken for granted. To the Jews, such a proclamation of freedom was an insult. As the physical descendants of Abraham, they believed that their ancestry and that their status was their ticket to heaven. They simply needed to keep God's ceremonial laws and statutes. Yet Jesus was calling them slaves. They, in fact, were slaves, shackled to the bondage of sin, which is the most horrific form of slavery. Jesus told them that they were still in their sins and that they would die in their trespasses and sin. And when he said die, he meant that they would die the second death and they would be eternally separated from their God. They were rejecting him. And since they were rejecting him, they will also be rejected. Jesus was warning them, and he warns us even today. We would do well, dear one, we would do very well to heed his words this morning. The one who commits sin is a slave to sin. He tells us that a slave cannot abide in the house forever. Rather, the son, it is the son that abides forever. He is warning you, and he's warning me, that to continue in sin justifiably defines you as a slave to sin and to death and to devil. Since sin cannot abide or even be in the presence of a holy and just God, you will be rejected, expelled from God's presence forever. There is nothing that you or I can do to justify ourselves before this holy and just God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God has set an impossible requirement for you and for me. He has raised the bar so high that we can never, ever reach it. We will never reach it because we are born in sin, which burdens us so heavily and pollutes us so thoroughly that we can never be perfect in the godly people that God demands of us. Sin. Sin is the root. It is the root cause of all that you suffer in this life today. All the troubles that you face during your earthly pilgrimage comes right back to sin. It goes right back to the Garden of Eden, right back to Adam. And it is ultimately the source of all your sorrow and your death. But take heart, dear one. Take heart. There is a man who could and did reach the bar, and he did it for you. By coming down out of heaven in the flesh, being born of the Blessed Virgin, and fulfilling all the requirements of the law, he did this. He fulfilled each and every requirement for you and for me. Jesus, it is Jesus who has freed you from the bondage of the law. He has emancipated you from the slavery of sin and death and devil. Dear Christian, Jesus has freed you from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for you, by hanging on a tree. For Scripture says, "Cursed is the man that hangeth from a tree." Jesus did this. He did this not for himself. He did it for you, and he has done it for me, so that we together may be justified in God's sight, so that we together will be declared perfect and righteous and holy and not guilty, free indeed. Jesus has freed you and me from the shackles of Satan, from the darkness, the deep darkness of death and hell and the grave. You are most certainly of this, and you are most certain of this because you have been sealed there at the font. There at the font, you were buried with Jesus the Christ into his death, and then you were raised as God raised his Son. You also, his son and daughter, have been raised to newness of life. You have been liberated. You have been set free. He who has died is risen. And since he is risen, you too will also rise. Death has no hold on you. Grave has been defeated for you. This is good news. Oh, dear one, this is very good news. The very good news that Luther joyfully proclaimed and that your pastor is now preaching to you. To abide in his word is nothing more than abiding in Jesus. Abiding in him is to know the truth, and that truth sets you free. To know the truth is to know Jesus. Now, dear one, this knowledge of Jesus isn't a head knowledge. Even the demons know who Jesus is. But the knowledge that you have is a soul, a heart knowledge that is freely given to you. And in that saving faith, you can bend the knee and proclaim that Jesus is your Lord. All done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have been set free, and you are free indeed. To abide in Jesus and in his word is to believe in him, and then to be spiritually nourished by him. Here this morning you will be fed, dear saint. Here in God's house, here is where you receive his gifts of word and body and blood. Here is where he sustains you in the one true faith which he freely gave to you in your baptism. Here, your Lord comes into your midst and here he will give to you his very body and blood. Here you will be abiding in him as he is abiding in you. As you exercise your freedoms, dear one, not only in this world, but in the world to come, you are invited to live in the freedom that God has generously given to you. And he has given this to you in his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Here this morning, you will see life, and you will touch life, and you will eat and drink life. In receiving this holy gift this morning, you're receiving the everlasting truth and the knowledge of his love, his unending love for each and every one of you. A love that continually and that will lastingly and forever set you free. The Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.